Don't be jealous. I know you guys are like, I want to go meet with them. I'll try to be exciting. As we often do, we are going to read through the scripture this morning. We're in Acts chapter 28, the first part. So if you would like and are able, let's stand while we read the Word of God. Mike, is that? Acts chapter 28. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it in the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us into his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out into sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Regium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Putulai. There, we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Just a quick introduction. Paul, as we found out last week, was shipwrecked. They didn't know what island they were on. And the reason they didn't know what island they were on is they were on a different part than most of the time the sailors went on. But they found out this place was called Malta. As we dig in this morning, I just want to be open and honest with you. As we go through the book of, as we've gone through the book of Acts, sometimes we don't really stick to that scripture, and this is going to be one of those times. As I read through this, a topic came to mind that I just couldn't quite shake. I think we need to be reminded of it, and the topic probably best titled is perseverance. And I know if you've been around for several months, last spring, Aaron Wilson, Shalynn's brother, came and spoke on perseverance. And I don't want to steal any of his stuff, although there are some repeating things. It was a great message, but we need to be reminded of this. By the way, if you're interested in Aaron's message and any of these, you can go to the church website. And there are all of the series that we've had for the last several years posted there. When there's a guest speaker like Aaron, there's a series called Standalone Sermons, and then the year, so 2019, and you'll be able to find that if you want to go back and listen to it and be like, well, I think Aaron did a better job than you. That's fine. I'm good with that. I thought it was a great message. But this morning, as I read through this, the idea that we have to persevere, or some translations say endure, just came like a flood. And this applies certainly to the book of Acts. As we've gone through the book of Acts, you could use this as a case study for perseverance. In fact, I think you could use probably the whole Bible as a case study for perseverance, and certainly the life of Paul you could use as a case study for perseverance. In fact, last week we looked at this scripture in 2 Corinthians 11, where although he was kind of playing this game, this word game, and he even says here, I'm out of my mind to talk like this. He recounts for a purpose, not boasting, what he's been through. He's been flogged. He's been in prison. He's received lashes, minus one, three times beaten with rod, once pelted with stones, three times shipwrecked. By the way, when he was stoned, they thought he died. And some think that he may have. So it wasn't just like, you know, little pebbles. He was hit with stones. Shipwrecked three times, night and day in the open sea, constantly on the move. Danger from rivers, bandits, Jews, Gentiles. Danger in the city, danger in the country, danger at sea. You can't go anywhere. Danger from believers, from false believers. False believers. Gone without sleep, hunger, thirst, cold, naked, face daily the pressure and concern for all of the churches. It's really a case study in perseverance as you look at Paul. And I hope that this morning we get a challenge, but also an encouragement to endure, to persevere, to not give up. Just these last 14, 15 days of Paul, where he said, let's not sail. I did feel like it's not going to be good. And then guess what? It's not good. Have you had days like that? I just don't think like this is a good, and it's not going to turn out good. And your boss or your coworker or your room. And guess what? It doesn't turn out good. It's tough. 14 days, life-threatening. So bad. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had such a day that you're like, I'm not even hungry? I'm just sick to my stomach. 14 days of that. And then finally, they're on an island. Unusual kindness flooding over them. They start a fire. Do you guys watch those survival shows? Like How to Survive in the Woods? Not that we ever go in the woods, but if we ever did go in the woods, we might be able to survive. Well, one of the things they say is not only can fire physically save your life, but it does something psychologically. It does something to your mood. This is why we have backyard fire pits and we sit around them, because it encourages us. And there's a fire here and it's encouraging them. And Paul might be encouraged and he gathers some more brushwood to throw it on. And then, are you kidding me? A snake? Come on. Can't the guy get a break? You had days like that? You had weeks like that? Seasons like that? Where you're trying to do what's right. You may be making mistakes, but you're trying. And you're trying to raise your kids. And you're trying to do your job good. You're trying to love people. You're trying to serve the Lord. And the snakes attached to your hand. This is Paul's life. So he throws it out on the fire. Sorry, I'm going to skip a little bit for time. We love stories of perseverance. We don't like to persevere. You know, and this should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Perseverance has to do with difficulty. Nobody's like, vacation was really tough. I really persevered through the sun and the boats and the fun. It has to do with difficulty. So everybody loves stories of perseverance, but the idea, or maybe at the end of perseverance, we like that, but that mid part, let me just tell you three stories. The upper left-hand picture is a man named Jack Ma. He applied for 30 different jobs, including the police, and then even, although I love Kentucky Fried Chicken, I'm not sure I'd want to work there. He tried to work at Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was rejected. He applied and got denied 10 times from Harvard. But he did discover the internet in the mid-1990s. He understood that maybe there would be some possibilities of the internet. Does anybody know what company Jack Ma founded? Alibaba. Just a small company, shipping international. I checked on Thursday, I checked the stock of Alibaba, not because I own it. I would have probably done well if I would have owned it. As of Thursday, Alibaba was valued at over $436 billion. Whew! Jan Koum, the guy on the right, he grew up very poor in the Ukraine. In fact, he didn't even have running water. But he found some skills in Silicon Valley after moving here and applied to Facebook. This was his break. He was going to work for Facebook and got denied. But instead of sulking, Jan went on to found a company. Anybody know? Alan, you love this company. You don't even know it. WhatsApp. WhatsApp is a communication company that you can message, and missionaries use it overseas because if you have Wi-Fi, you can communicate really easily. And by the way, he sold it to Facebook. $19 billion. Woo! Everybody likes perseverance, right? Thomas Edison, you might be thinking, I should know that guy from U.S. history. That's the bottom right-hand picture. Thomas Edison famously said that he didn't fail 1,000 times inventing the light bulb. He just found 1,000 ways that it didn't work. But back to the story of Paul, there has to be a difference between the world's view of perseverance and what I would call a biblical or a kingdom of God view of perseverance. And this is what encouraged me. Because our life in the Bible, in the kingdom of God, is not a formula. It's not A plus B equals C. It's not 1 plus 1 equals 2. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. In fact, if it worked that way, we would actually be called something that I read an article not too long ago called moral deism. And that is, morality is our God. And if that were true, if perseverance in a worldly sense was true, then I do good once, and then I do good a second time, and then everything is wonderful, and I come up with an app that I can sell to Facebook for $19 billion. But that's not a biblical view of perseverance, and that's not a reality. Otherwise, the story of Paul would go like this. Paul goes, he stands before Caesar. Caesar sees his great wisdom. He makes him his right-hand man. And then Paul becomes the first Jewish Caesar in history. You see, there's a problem with worldly perseverance. And the problem is, we always think that there's going to be a solution. And things are going to open up. And I get all of these rewards. That's not a biblical view, and that would be exhausting. That's why there's no joy and there's no peace. Because the article that I read, that there were only 8 stories like that. Ma and Jan Koum and Edison and a few other. That's not the reality of life. So there has to be something more in the kingdom of God when it comes to perseverance to get us through. And there's something more. And it's good news. Let's start with the idea that nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. You see, the world says, I do all of these things, and then maybe I'll get the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Maybe I'll strike it rich. And that's what you're persevering for. Frankly, it's not going to take long, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to give it up. But in a biblical view, in a kingdom of God view, nothing is wasted. It's not just the end. It's the beginning and the middle and the end. Listen to what Jesus says in John 6. Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Nothing is wasted. Because in a biblical sense, in a kingdom of God sense, we're not persevering for the ATM to spit out money. We're not walking through life, good or bad, for results that are going to make me happy. That's a worldly sense. We're going through this for one reason: to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Amen. It's not about us. This is good news, because if we're trying to bring the glory to the Lord, we can bring glory to the Lord at the beginning, the middle, at the end. We can make a mistake and still bring glory to the Lord. It's not a formula, but it's a much better formula. When we are focused on bringing glory to the Lord, to lifting Christ high, then we don't have to fear failure. We don't even have to fear difficulty. In fact, I think that it's probably more common that we should fear success than we fear difficulty. Because success, there's this fear, a chance that we're going to forget how good the Lord is. But when we're being challenged, we can give glory to the Lord at all times. Let's look at a few scriptures. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. I know that this gets mistranslated all the time. People think, oh, this is that formula that the world tells me. That's the wrong idea of good. Good here is something higher. Good here is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we love God, all things, beginning, middle, and end, all things, difficulty and successes, work for his glory. This is actually a freeing message. Because you know what? You may be here today, discouraged. Things that you have done and you've made mistakes. Can I encourage you? If you persevere through that, if you may need to repent. You may need to apologize. You may need to humble yourself. You may need to reach out to others for help. But if you do, if you walk in biblical ways, there will be glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can give glory to him that he is getting you through all of this. Maybe there's things happening to you. It's no cause of your own. It just is the lot in life, the world that we live in. We can continue to give the glory to the Lord in all of those circumstances. James talks about this. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. How can you consider it pure joy if all you're focused on is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? You can't. But you can consider it pure gold. You can consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. This is a backwards thinking of the world. Yes, and amen. Testing of our faith produces perseverance. And perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Don't misunderstand that this is an easy, thinking, oh, this is an easy message. This is so difficult and it's so freeing. Romans 5. Not so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Glory in the difficulty? Yeah, we can glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope doesn't put to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. In the midst of this hardship, because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and his promised Holy Spirit that he gives to us to empower us, to comfort us through these times, at the beginning, the middle, and the end, we can carry on. We can find the strength to continue. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, Paul calls this light and momentary troubles. This is a there's a different view here. I read things like this and I'm like, what? When you're in trouble, does it seem light and momentary? When you're in that difficulty, does it seem? No, it doesn't seem light and momentary. How can it be light and momentary? Because there's an eternal glory that outweighs all of the troubles. There's a focus on eternal things. Not just eternity. There is this idea of, okay, one day I'm going to go to heaven. But I don't want to go through life just saying, you know what, I just can't wait till I die and I go to heaven. That's not what this means. The eternal glory is there's something greater than us about the difficulty. When we're walking through these things, there's something greater than us. And the greater is Jesus. We get our minds off of ourselves and on to giving glory to the Lord. And literally, it allows us to wake up and get out of bed in the morning. That's the eternal glory. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, I know this is one of my favorite scriptures because he's learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And this allows him to do all things because God's giving him strength. By the way, just Google, what's Paul's secret? There's some pretty funny answers to that, but the secret is the eternal glory that we just read about. The secret's not just, you know, some of the things that you'll read is they think, oh, this is just looking forward to heaven. One day you'll die, all of this will be gone. That's not it. It's the perseverance. It's that if I'm looking at a different goal, and the goal is to raise Jesus higher and higher, that gives me strength. That's a biblical understanding of what it means to persevere. That is what gives us the strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can persevere because I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him glory, loving him with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind, and loving my neighbor as myself. Outside of the gospel, this isn't even possible. I think there's something else that we can grasp from this story that has Paul persevering that I just want to encourage you with. So there's an estate nearby, and Publius, the chief official, generous hospitality, and his father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. But Paul didn't know about this because he's in his room nursing the wounds on his hand. And he's just ticked off about it. He's upset that nobody's checking on him. And so he's just sulking. He's just nursing his wounds. Have you ever just said, you know what, I'm not going to the prayer meeting. I'm not going to the worship meeting. I'm just going to nurse my wounds. And that's not what Paul does. Paul goes to see him, and after he prays, he places his hands. I don't know the healing that he took place, but just from my view, that still have a snake bite in them. Those hands. I don't mean to say this is easy. Getting out of bed and going and serving. And this doesn't come natural when things are tough. But Paul places his hands on him and heals him. And it gives him opportunity to serve and to love others. It doesn't say here that a church was planted in Malta. But I have no doubt, as people are being healed and coming, that Paul's preaching the good news, proclaiming the kingdom of God. All were cured. It's interesting, they use different words here for healed and cured. One's more of a medical word. One's more of a miraculous healing word. Luke's having to persevere. Dr. Luke, what's Luke's last name? I don't know that. Maybe we'll just call him Dr. Luke because he's a cool doctor. Dr. Luke, he's persevering as well. He went through the shipwreck. Do you have a friend that's walking with you that's persevering as well? They're side by side proclaiming the gospel, getting out of their comfort zone, persevering. It's not about them. It's about glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. They honor us in many ways. They get ready to sail. They furnish us with supplies we need. There's an encouragement that comes when we step out of ourselves and serve one another. Be on your guard, Paul says at the end of his letter to the Corinthians. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. This is the kind of love that Paul's proclaiming by his actions, and I think by his words as well, to the believers in Malta and those who are going to believe in Malta. It's the selfless serving of those around you. I know this is a hard word. I know what it's like to want to stay in bed and pull the covers up. Don't anybody say amen to that. But let's be real. By the way, the last time that he went to serve, he got bit by a snake. Is he going into Publius's father? What if he prays for him and it doesn't happen? Is there going to be another riot? The townspeople come and they start to be healed. Is there trouble? Doesn't matter. The beginning, the middle, and the end is for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So after 3 months, they put out to sea. The ship has wintered. Number 15 on this map is Malta. They go to Syracuse and then to Rhegium, and then they finally land at Puteoli. From there, I don't know how long, but it's a short walk on the Appian Way. You can still go and find this road in Rome, by the way, although I think it was rebuilt in 300 or something. When they come to Puteoli, they find some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. When they're coming into Rome, believers, brothers and sisters, heard that Paul was coming. There's already a church in Rome. Paul's already written the book of Romans to them. They travel as far as from the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God. I was talking with Shalyn about this yesterday, and we were just encouraging one another because we need to encourage one another. And she told me about the scripture that the women are studying in the David study. Perfect example outside of Paul's situation. David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph. He learned that Saul was coming out to take his life. David's been anointed as king. Saul is still the acting king. Saul's trying to kill him. David's hiding. He's running. He's discouraged. He's trying to persevere, but all he wants to do is stay in bed and pull the covers up over his head. And Saul's son Jonathan went out to David, and he spoke truth to him. He said, "You're going to get through this. This is not how it ends. God has something greater for you. God, brothers and sisters, this is why we come together. Because we have to speak truth to one another. Because in the midst of perseverance, lies come. This is because you're a failure. We've already figured out that I'm a failure. I've repented of that, but the lies keep coming in. Fear is a liar. We need to tell people, you don't have to be afraid of that. That's a lie from the enemy. Jonathan came out. Don't be. Don't be afraid. He said, my father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. At the sight of one another, speak truth to one another. You may be here today thinking, man, I just sold my business for $19 billion. Hallelujah. Go and speak truth to someone. Be a Jonathan. Go find them in the cave and speak truth that God has them at the beginning, the middle, and the end. You may be barely here this morning. Stay for lunch. Let somebody speak truth into your life. Let somebody tell you what is a lie from the enemy. Let somebody be a Jonathan to you this morning. I had a thought as I was preparing for this. I know that we're going a little bit over, but you know what? If everybody on this side looks at everybody on that side and says, you know, I wish they would reach out to me. I wish they would call me. And everybody on this side is looking everybody on that side and saying, I wish they would reach out to me. I wish they would call me. And all week that goes on. You know what's going to happen? I've got the answer. Nothing. Reach out. Encourage one another. Don't wait for somebody to reach out to you. Don't wait for somebody to call and ask how you're doing. And if the Lord puts somebody on your heart, even more, you may need to be a Jonathan at that point. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Amen. Let's stand and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak truth to us. And ask for somebody to encourage this morning. Or ask that somebody would come and encourage you. Be open with one another. Lord, we do come to you and ask that you, Lord, would be our comforter. Lord, your word, your spirit are so precious to us. Lord, and your people as well. And I thank you that we're in a place where we can encourage and build one another up. I pray that that would be happening today. I pray that we would be able to stand firm, that we would be able to persevere, that we would recognize that this is for your glory, Jesus. This is all for your glory. Lord, I pray that we would be a body that's encouraging and being Jonathans and believers from the Forum of Appius and Three Taverns and encouraging one another. Lord, I pray that as we see each other around town, that a smile will come to our face, that our spirits will be lifted just at the sight of one another. Lord, I pray that we would be building and encouraging one another up today. And all the more as the day of Jesus Christ approaches. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
Sing, you are my strength when my...
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious tool, Lord, to give up, I be a fool. You are my all in all.
not sure if this is cause and effect, but I saw a person go bump, bump, bump down the steps on their rear, which is fun as a child, but maybe not so much as an adult. So somebody has chronic pain in their tailbone.
You have chronic pain in your tailbone. We'll have prayer back in the office prayer room. Go back there, and Jeff and others will be there to pray for you, or you just need prayer for encouragement this morning. That will be back there as well. We'll have a meal served off to my left if you can stay. Lord, we thank you for your provision in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you provide one another, Lord, to encourage and build us up, and you've provided for the meal, Lord. You provide for our physical needs as well. We give you praise, and we give you thanks, and we give you glory. Lord, would you go before us today? Go behind us as well. Would you hem us in, Lord? Thank you that you are with us as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.